part two. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott.
All right, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
This is episode 65,
part two.
Of a three-part episode.
We made it after those technical difficulties in part one, John.
Technical difficulties,
which you overcame. You improvised, adapted, overcame, semper fi.
Wow.
Nice.
I'm like a Marine.
You are.
Damn. I'm too fat, though. I'd be like a diet private.
What's that? Diet private.
It's where they, during boot camp, they just feed you lettuce.
For 13 weeks?
Yeah, until you lose weight.
Wow.
That's what I heard. A friend of mine was a Marine. He actually punched an officer and was in the brig and had to get an attorney, like a Tom Cruise attorney. And then...
Yeah, they don't put up with that.
Right. He got an other than honorable discharge.
Other than honorable?
Yeah.
So wait a minute. He smacked the guy and he got out?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crap.
He smacked the guy. He went AWOL. He shot out some chick's window with a rifle. It's true.
Her window. Was he aiming at something? Because, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald was a Marine.
No, he was just driving by and he shot her window out because he was pissed off at her.
And who is this person?
I can't say, man.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you off the air.
All right.
You might know him. Yeah, I know you know him.
So all that crap Richard Gere
had
to put up
with? He's a born-again Jesus freak now.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All that crap Richard Gere had to put up with, all he had to do was pop that guy in the nose?
He did. He karate'd the shit out
right.
of him, and then he got kicked in the balls.
Right.
And it was over. Now, I don't know what happened. That's the story he told me. He clocked some officer, and they threw him in the brig. He had an attorney, went back and forth. He had been AWOL a couple of times. One of the times he went AWOL, he blasted this chick's car windows out because she was doing a... She did a Dear John letter on him. So he went ballistic, and they said, hey, man, you don't want to be here. We don't want you here. You get another than honorable.
And this had to happen years ago, right? Because
yeah.
that wouldn't have happened
yeah.
today.
It was years ago.
Because they're calling people back today.
Yeah,
hey, you need to come back.
They would have just grabbed them and said, here, well, you want to shoot windows out? Shoot these windows out.
And before you know it, how long until the draft there, John?
Oh, yeah.
How long until it's... Well, right now it's not an all-volunteer army because people who left, they're calling back.
Well, I don't understand why they need a draft. There's over 2 million soldiers... in active duty right now.
Rotation, baby, rotation. You need a rotation.
No, it's not a matter of rotation. They're bringing back 2,500 more troops who have already been in for X amount of tours already. When they have 33 or something like 70,000 in Europe, 33,000 of those I think are in Germany. They're all in places that there's no war going on. So why don't they just bring those guys out of there, close those bases, and bring them over to Iraq? They got people in Korea. They got people in Italy. They got them all over the place. They got over 1 million soldiers here in the U.S.
Because that would be stupid, because the right thing to do is to bring troops home from Iraq and get the fuck out of there. It was wrong to go in there. It's wrong to remain there. And let's get the F out of there.
I know. That gets me all pissed off. I hate the interventionalism. We have to fight the terrorists over there. Okay, well, what stopped the terrorists from starting that bomb plot in the UK? And then cops solved it.
It's because they hate our freedoms, John. Our freedom.
Because we're free. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's what they hate. Not yeah. that we're over there telling them what to do.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother them at all.
No.
They hate our freedom.
They love us. They love us. Open arms, remember? You know, the insurgency is in their last throes. Didn't Cheney say that in 2004?
Yeah, Cheney also shot a guy in the fucking face.
While he was drunk. I only had one beer.
Trying to shoot a quail.
How about that? I only had one beer there. How about that?
I'll tell you.
Idiot.
All right, John, we'll...
He's been in office since Nixon, for Christ's sake. There's something wrong with that.
There is something wrong with that. We'll get into that in part three. We got a lot. We got some more W clips.
I need more drinking.
And W stupidity.
I
got to
drink more.
For part three. But let's move on. We got some science and celebrity news. Before we get to that, John, Rolling Stone came out with the top 100 guitarists of all time. Did you hear about this? Did you read
no.
this? Rolling Stone magazine, but I want to know who the actual people were that came up with this list, because it's a goddamn joke, John. It's a joke.
Is BB on there? BB King?
BB King is on there.
You know it, man.
You got to be kidding me, right? Why would BB King even be on here, is what I'm saying.
Oh, he's the greatest blues man ever.
He can't play a chord. He admitted that in U2 documentary. He can't play a chord.
I don't do chords.
Right. If you can't play a chord... You shouldn't be on the top 100 guitarists of all time. That would be my criteria, John.
Okay.
Guess where he is at number?
He's probably like number three.
Number
top
three.
Ten.
That's right, John. Number three.
No doubt. The reason why he's up there is he's inspired people like Eric Clapton. Eric Clapton just had him on his last tour because he's so inspirational. His songs are so deep and his guitar... solos, even though they're like one note. Sorry. Yeah. They're so deep. They're so heartfelt.
Well, that's great.
They're in the right spot. They're not all wanked out going.
But he shouldn't be on the top 100, in my opinion, John. Because he can't play a chord. I would think that's part of playing the guitar, is playing a chord.
Oh, come on.
Come on! So they got Hendrix at number one, Duane Allman at number two, B.B. King, then Eric Clapton, then Robert Johnson. Wasn't he a boxer, Robert Johnson? No, that was Joe Johnson. Six, Chuck Berry. Seven, Stevie Ray Vaughan. Eight, Ry Cooder. Wasn't he in Dukes of Hazzard, Ry Cooder?
No.
Number nine, Cooter. Jimmy Page. At number nine... That's a travesty. Number 10, Keith Richards of Rolling Stones. All right, so we got... here's some other notables.
I'm playing guitar.
Like people that I recognize.
What about me?
Johnny Ramone of the Ramones. Now, here's a guy, unlike B.B. King, can only play chords. What do you think he shows up at? Johnny Ramone.
30.
16. Jack White of the White Stripes. Where do you think he's at?
30.
17. Buddy Guy is at number 30, Jod. Joe Perry of Aerosmith. Where do you think a guy like that would show up?
8.
48.
Wow.
Pete Townsend, number 50.
Wanker.
There's only two chicks on the list. Two chicks, John. Joni Mitchell is one of them. Where do you think she shows up?
6.
72. Guess who the other woman is on the top 100 guitarists of all time?
Bonnie Raitt.
No. I'll give you one
Lita
more.
Lita Ford.
No, Joan Jett. She shows up at number 87. All right, so Joni Mitchell and Joan Jett were both ahead of Angus Young of AC/DC. Who shows up at number 96.
Hey, you know, I got the first demo of
All right, let me get back to the list.
Imbalance.
Eddie Van Halen, where do you think he shows up?
Oh, way at the bottom.
Number 70, Eddie Van Halen. What a joke. Hey, do you think Slash is on here, John? Guns N' Roses? Do you think he's
no
on
way.
There? No, he's not. Joe Walsh, do you think he's on there?
No way.
No. How about Mick Taylor from the Stones back in the day? He's not on there. Hey, you think Prince is on there? You think Prince is on there?
No, they're not pioneers.
What about Volpe? Dan Volpe, you think he's on there? No. How about Joe Walsh? Joe Walsh? No.
You said that already.
So Joan Jett is a pioneer? A pioneer of what, John? Tell me what that is that Joan Jett is a pioneer of.
Put another dime in the jukebox, baby.
And that's pioneer. That's
I love
pioneer
rock
work.
And roll. I love rock and roll. Put another dime in the jukebox, baby.
I don't know. Is that how it goes?
If it is based on that, then why is Eddie Van Halen number 70?
I know the future is a joke.
Okay, let's hear it.
Something like that.
Why don't we become an Imbalance cover band?
Yeah,
man?
Tribute.
That would be sweet. Tribute band.
The future is a job! That's all you got to do.
You know, here's why you should be producer of the year.
Why?
Not only are you playing guitar live on the show, but you have a backing track playing at the same time, which is fan-fucking-tastic. For the 100 greatest guitarist of all time. And John of TTN is not on there. That's a travesty.
I just thought it'd be appropriate for to bring my axe out.
No doubt,
that
John.
Thing you're doing. Yeah, I don't know why Eddie Van Crybaby is not on there.
Crybaby?
Yeah, he's a big fucking boo, 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 boo.
He does not a crybaby.
Sammy Davis Hagar.
That's stupid. All right, let's move on to Celebrity News, John. Here's a really odd celebrity story. Spears, that would be Britney, snubs Simpson at award show.
What?
The Dukes of Hazzard star Jessica Simpson was rudely snubbed by pop star Britney Spears backstage at the Teen Choice Awards on Sunday. Get this, John. When Simpson innocently asked if she could kiss Spears' pregnant belly. Now, what kind of whacked request is that?
Can I French kiss your belly?
Simpson was hosting the show, and the heavily pregnant Spears was there to introduce husband Kevin Federline's debut performance as a rapper. After Simpson made her request, Spears immediately shot back, "Hell no.
Hell no.
Hell no.
We won't go."
A backstage witness confirms the incident, saying Jessica was really insulted, but Britney refused to let her do it. What is going on with Jessica Simpson?
I don't know.
Can I kiss your belly?
Can I lick your belly?
She's lost it, John. She obviously, she's in this alternate reality.
I don't know.
And then you add pop star and pseudo movie star to that, and she's really gone. She may even be more gone than Tom Cruise, John. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know, man.
What do you got for celebrity, Jared Johnson?
Let's see, I got, oi! Jackie Mason sues Jews for Jesus. Comedian says group used his name in vain, seeks $2 million. This out of New York, Scott, saying he's as Jewish as a matzo bowl or kosher salami. Jackie Mason filed a lawsuit against Jews for Jesus for using his name and likeness in a pamphlet. The $2 million lawsuit seeks the immediate destruction of the pamphlet, which members of the missionary have been handing out at various points around the New York City. While I have the utmost respect for people who practice the Christian faith, the fact is, as everybody knows, I'm as Jewish as a matzo ball or kosher salami, the 75-year-old comedian said in documents filed in state Supreme Court in Manhattan.
So, John, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about the Jews, other than Mel Gibson hates them, and he calls police women sugar tits. But what...
Allegedly.
If you're a Jew for Jesus, doesn't that make you not a Jew anymore?
I would think it makes you just as Jewish as ever. Because Jesus was Jewish.
Jews for Jesus.
Jesus
but
for...
Is it Jews for Jesus, but not Jesus the Messiah?
No.
Well, I don't get it then.
Well, here
I'm
it is.
Completely
Founded
confused.
In the 1970s, Jews for Jesus practices Judaism, but regards Jesus as the Messiah.
Okay.
Yeah. The pamphlet features an image of Mason next to the words, Jackie Mason, a Jew for Jesus?
Question mark?
Question mark, yeah, an exclamation. With information inside that outlines the similarities between Jews and Christians.
What are the similarities?
They practice everything the same, except for some of the stuff like circumcision. And basically, the Catholics are the ones, the Romans changed all that. Jesus, in some books, like by Elaine Pagels and stuff, she says, yeah, there were still, he was pissed off at the way the temple was being run. So he said, fuck this. It shouldn't just apply to just one set of people, the Hebrews. This stuff should apply to everybody because it's some good shit. I like the philosophy, but I don't like where you're going with it. And then the Romans took it over, and they just fucked it all up, basically.
But I'm stuck with a Jew for Jesus as the Messiah, then you're Christian, right?
Yeah, but there was nobody... Jesus is never really the... No, this is the theologians argue about this all the time, that was Jesus really this Messiah?
Who cares what they argue about? If I'm a Jew for Jesus, I think Jesus was the Messiah. Now, doesn't that make me a Christian? Or doesn't this religion then become a hybrid of Christian and Jewish Judaism?
Yeah, that's exactly what Jesus was trying to do.
Okay, so the Jews for Jesus are the
Jesus
ones that
said,
have it right, is
you know
what you're saying.
Let's start a religion after my own name.
Okay, the John religion?
No, Jesus Christ, so we're going to call it Christianity.
Right.
Christianity. I don't even know if his last name was Christ. He was just Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah, what was his last name?
Well, we know his middle name was Harold. Jesus H. Christ. Harold be thy name. Middle name.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
It's all a bunch of hoopla.
I don't know. It just seems you got one fairy tale and you got another fairy tale. And then if you disregard the Messiah, or if you accept him as your Messiah, it would seem like you would be believing in the other fairy tale. I just don't get it, John. I don't get it.
Or you negate the entire fairy tale altogether, because now you're saying certain things are true and some things aren't.
Then why not just become a Scientologist?
Right.
With Xenu. Yeah.
There you go. And I think that's what Jackie's going to end up doing.
There
the
you
pamphlet
it.
Uses my name, my name, my likeness, my shtick, if you will.
Shtick.
In my very act. Which is derived from my personality to attract attention and convoits. That's what he said in an affidavit there, Scott. Susan Perlman, a spokesman for Jews for Jesus, said the pamphlet was good-natured. Shame on him for getting so upset about this, she said on Friday. Mason has starred on Broadway films, including Caddyshack 2.
Oh, yeah, they got to mention that. And forget that, it was good-natured, so that means we can do it. That's not going to hold up. That's not going to be a defense for that stupid-ass woman. It was in good nature. Yeah, okay, great.
My foot up your ass will be in good nature, bitch.
Another celebrity news, John.
How dare you?
Osama bin Laden is in celebrity news this week. Do you know why?
No, is he singing?
Because he is obsessed
Emmys?
With having sex with singer Whitney Houston.
Come on!
According to a woman who claims the terror warlord, John Warlord, repeatedly raped her. Not Whitney Houston, but her. So here's the thing. Osama is obsessed with Whitney Houston. Has he seen that reality TV show with Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston?
Yeah, right.
So obviously he doesn't get cable in the caves wherever he's hiding out.
He doesn't.
Because if he would just watch one episode of that show, that obsession would go away immediately, John. Immediately. And even though the thought of killing Whitney's husband, Bobby Brown, and marrying her, poet and novelist, get this name, Cola Boof, says that he even thought about that. Sudanese Boof, 37, says... He told me Whitney was the most beautiful woman he had ever seen. He said he had a permanent desire for Whitney, although he claimed music was evil. Boof, who lives in Los Angeles, claims Bin Laden, 49, held her as a sex slave for 4 months in a hotel in Morocco in 1996. She says he thought Whitney, 43, was truly Islamic, but was brainwashed by the U.S. culture.
By the Utes.
And she adds, he explained that to possess Whitney, he'd make her one of his wives. Boof makes the claim in her autobiography, Diary of a Lost Girl. Maybe that should be my last name, Scott Boof.
Boof-a-lot.
Scott Boof and John Teabag from Total Talk Nonsense.
Yeah! Coming at you live from Studio B.
What do you got? You got some other celebrity news there, John?
Yeah, I got some. Sir Sean Connery marked the end of his Hollywood career yesterday by turning the air blue in a tirade against the film industry. The actor celebrated his 76th birthday with an attack on incompetent directors, producers, and the industry at large. On what was meant to be a celebration of 50 years in the industry, Connery visited his hometown of Edinburgh, where he was presented with a BAFTA Scotland Award for Outstanding Achievement in Film. He stunned the audience with an attack on his two recent Hollywood blockbusters, and he said he did not plan on any additions to his CV.
What is that?
I don't know.
CV.
The time has come because of my rather unfortunate last movie, he said. The cost to me in terms of frustration and avoiding going to jail for murder cannot be continued.
I thought he had a license to kill.
I don't know. Yeah, he's 007 James
007.
Bond. James Bond. The offending film was The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, released in 2003. A misfiring superhero extravaganza directed by Stephen Norrington. Connery said that after his dealing with him, his opinion was that the director was insane. Connery said, he was young and enthusiastic. I presume someone wouldn't give him a person... Let me start that over. I presume someone wouldn't give a person $84 million to go to a wonderful place like Prague without due diligence. I do a really shitty Sean Connery when I
thought that was pretty good.
You think so?
I think you should start out with the Red October one, though.
I am the last one. Mr. Ryan. Page two.
I got this one. Macy slams Lohan for lateness.
No.
Macy. Veteran actor William H. Macy has blasted co-star Lindsay Lohan for her behavior while filming the movie Bobby, insisting she should have her ass kicked.
Whoa!
The star shared scenes with the 20-year-old actress in a film that admires her talent, but not her manners. He said, you can't show up late. It's very, very disrespectful. Lohan was blasted in a letter last month from the CEO of Morgan Creek Productions for her absences on the set. And he called her behavior a spoiled child. Lohan appears in the film alongside Macy's wife, Desperate Housewives star Felicity Huffman. He explains, I think what an actor has to realize is that when you show up an hour late, John, 150 people have been scrambling to cover for you. It's nothing but disrespect, and Lindsay Lohan is not the only one. A lot of actors show up late as if they're God's gift to the film.
Oh, yeah.
It's inexcusable, no doubt. And they should have their asses fucking kicked, is what Macy says. And again, if anybody in Lindsay Lohan's camp is listening, put John and Scott in charge. And we'll whip her ass into shape,
yeah.
John. We'll give her John
no
and Scott
doubt.
Boot camp.
That's right.
For how to show up on time and be polite and have manners.
And drink Red Bull and vodka.
F&A, man. Red Bull and vodka. I think that's going to be my new drink, John.
Yeah? You like that?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to affect my speech so far.
But you still get the feeling, don't you?
I do. I get the feeling.
Like, whoa. Yeah, I was pretty, like, weirdly wasted on Thursday. It was a weird
It was a very weird...
What the hell was that? You got a fucking alien in you?
Thing.
It was like, wow.
Wow. You and I were on, man. We were tight. We were the rhythm section.
Yeah.
We were tight, man.
I was playing really fast, though.
That's okay. One last celebrity news here. Gibson makes apology calls. Mel Gibson is the one who told the cops she was sugar tits and he said some bad things about Jews.
Oh, so what's wrong with that?
Mel Gibson is making
secret. He's just an asshole anyway.
Well, here, I'm already offended with this story here. He's making secret phone calls. If there's such a secret, how did John and Scott know about them? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Secret phone calls to Hollywood's...
Because we have the inside. We got Phil. He helps us out there.
Right, right. Phil does help us out. But get this phrasing here and help me. See if you can help me explain this. Mel Gibson is making secret phone calls to Hollywood's top Jews.
Top Jews.
To personally apologize for an anti-Semitic rant that he stunned Tinseltown with last month. The unnamed mogul says he was civil to the Braveheart star, but remains unconvinced the actor was being completely sincere.
Do you think we can get a list of the top 10 Jews?
The top Jews. Yeah, I want to know who the top Jews are. Do you think Forbes would put that out? The top Jews of Hollywood? Who are the top Jews?
I think they'd be upset.
Oh, dude, man. Did you get a chance to hit my iPod? I got some Rush on there. I forgot about Rush. Rush!
Yeah, but I didn't see any Rush.
There was Rush 123. Rush 123.
Well, I'm not going to plug it in now.
All right, then.
You want to do it on three?
We'll do it in part three. We'll try to open up with Rush and Survivor.
Rush.
And what Rush has to say about the new
Survivor. You mean the
Survivor?
The fat drug addict?
The fat drug addict, right. And his enunciation is so goddamn annoying. I don't know how anybody could listen to Rush Limbaugh. I just don't know it. How is anybody listening to him? I don't believe it. I don't believe that people are listening to him.
Oh, no, they listen to him.
I'll
give you an example. Marty says to me one day, did you hear Ann Coulter? Yeah. You mean that shrill, shrieking voice of complete idiocy? Oh, no, dude, man. Did you read her new book? And her new book is about, I don't know what it's about. It's about slamming Democrats or something. And I said, look, first of all, there's a bunch of things in there where she's just completely vicious. She's just attacking people without attacking the argument, you know. And he goes, yeah, but the rest of the stuff, I think, you know, you got to think. She's right on. And so I go, wait a minute. How could you say the rest of the stuff she's right on, but the other stuff you agree that she's completely attacking somebody without any...
Ad hominem, John.
Yeah, but no evidence.
Ad baculum.
Nothing to back it up.
Nothing.
And, that's the kind of mentality there is. You know, like, I'll ask him about Bill O'Reilly, and he'll say, oh, dude, that guy is so funny. Okay, I agree. He's pretty funny because he's stupid. Stupidly funny, the way he does his stuff. Why do you think they make fun of him on Saturday Night Live?
Well, you know, John, I think that you and I, our perspective, we are so goddamn intelligent that our expectations are that everybody else is intelligent as us. And it's hard for me to realize that, yes, the American population voted the W in the office. Yeah. That they could be so goddamn stupid.
But one thing is we say this is our opinion or this is some fact that we drudged up from wherever. And we'll say where it's from.
Drudged up?
Wherever.
Nice.
From Drudge. Or wherever. We'll get it from the internet. Because there's John, rumors on the internet.
There are rumors. And I didn't have time to do this, but somewhere in past podcasts I talked about string theory briefly.
Internet.
Yeah.
And I said string theory is a bunch of crap because what happens with string theory, they're trying to unify these two different theories, quantum and things on a large scale, whatever right. that theory is called. So they came up with the string theory, and mathematically they can create however many dimensions they need to make this shit work mathematically. And I said it's a bunch of crap. It's got to be a simple solution. It's got to yeah. be a simple answer. Guess what happened? Guess what happened, John?
The guy solved it.
No, a guy didn't solve it.
No.
Time came out. Maybe it was Newsweek, and they said, yeah, string theory, it's a bunch of crap. It's a bunch of crap because we listen to Scott of Total Talk Nonsense, and he's right on. Because if you have to get into these abstract mathematical dimensions to try to solve something, it's a bunch of crap. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
Keep it simple, yeah. stupid. So once again, our brilliance, John, shines
no, no
through.
No, yours.
No, ours.
Yours, Scott.
Because if it wasn't for the exchange of ideas between John and
oh,
Scott.
The marketplace
mano
of ideas.
Mano. That's yeah. right. Because if you just went along and said, yes, Scott, yes, Scott, yes, Scott.
Right.
I'd be like the W, but you don't. You challenge me. I challenge you.
That's the that's exactly the point about
the exchange of ideas, John.
The lack of democracy in this country. Where we have two parties to vote for, and we're one party away from a totalitarianism.
Whatever you just said. Right on, John.
I can't say it. Totalitarianistic regime, which we do have. And we have that Republican Party. And one thing I used to argue about with Marty was, I don't care who's in office so much, as long as there's an opposing party as part
checks
of the
and balances.
Checks and balances. There's somebody who can cause trouble for that president, and the president can cause trouble for that Congress or the House or whatever. Because with the checks and balances right now, there is no oversight of what the president does. No, nobody's going to subpoena him because their
until
careers.
Until next election.
Oh, yeah. But if you get some Dems in there, then there's going to be some hell or high water. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, John. Hell or high water. I know what that means.
For the W.
For the W. Yeah, but the most important things to a democracy, number one, well, there's three things.
It's
I'm going to come
argument.
Up with three things. Three things that you fight for it yourself, which didn't happen in Iraq. They didn't fight for it themselves. Number two, the separation of church and state. You can't be led around the nose by some Christian fanatics
or any
Islamist
any.
Fascist, whoever. It's got to be a separation of church and state. And the other is the freedom of speech, the ability to exchange ideas, not to have yes men. Yes, yes, yes. And that yeah. bullshit. Those are the three key components to a democracy, and you heard it here on TPN,
well, freedom of speech has got to be one of the most.
Those are the top three right there. You fight for it yourself, freedom of speech, and separation of church and state.
Yeah.
There you have it.
How could anybody say dissent is unpatriotic? It's the most patriotic thing you could do.
Because they're assholes. That's
why. Not dissenting is anti-American. For instance, Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, the entire Fox News channel, and the entire Bush administration are anti-American. Those people are anti-American. They are anti-patriotic. They are not patriotic whatsoever. John and Scott, however, are one of the most patriotic.
There
I'm
you
sure
go, John.
People
no doubt.
More patriotic than us.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
I would say Penn Jillette is very patriotic.
Very patriotic.
I think he's a complete nut job most
he
of the time.
He even says he's a nut job. He says but, the nut point of view.
But I love his point of view.
Here's the nut point of view.
I never agree with it. There's a lot of things I don't agree with, but he's so goddamn interesting. Damn it.
Damn it, John.
And he's so polite, too, when he wants to rip on somebody. He's polite. He had Kathy Griffin's brother on, and he politely ripped on the guy.
In a polite way.
In a polite way. It was beautiful.
Well, it's a learning opportunity, John. We're still learning. We take every opportunity to learn every day. We still need to learn. A lot of people don't do that. They
yeah.
figure, I know everything.
Yeah,
I don't need to learn
all.
Anymore.
Here's the way you do it.
Like the W. He's one of the, yeah. the monkeys who thinks he knows it all. Stupid ass.
Man, who the fuck just steals a monkey?
And that whole crap about him reading books. Forget about reading books for leisure. Why don't you study for your fucking job?
Does he read pop-up books, those picture books, or little city pops up when you open it?
I'm sure he does, but that's not what they say he reads.
Or the ones where the duck is fuzzy and you could touch it, and it's like a little fuzzy patch.
And what? How does he get so much free time to read? Do your goddamn job. Read something about your job. How about that? How to do your job better, because you're an embarrassment. You embarrass me.
There's no rules.
There's no rules.
Vladimir Putin.
But we'll get to him in part three. Yeah. How are we doing on time?
We got about 5 minutes.
Got a couple of science stories. Bad news for all those baby boomers starting to pile on the pounds as they go through middle age. You don't have to be obese, just a little overweight to increase your risk of dying prematurely.
Oh, I'm good. Good as dead.
A 10-year study of more than 50,000 U.S. adults. I'm sorry, 500,000. That's how good I am with math. Found that those who were just moderately overweight in their 50s were 20% to 40% more likely to die the next decade. Another study involving more than 1 million Korean adults, also being published in this week's New England Journal of Medicine, produced similar results.
Results.
In other science news, John, women fall into a trance during orgasm.
What?
The first brain scans of men and women having sex and reaching orgasm have revealed... Let's wait a minute and pause there for a second. So, the first brain scan. So, how does that work? You show up with your partner, you have sex, and are they scanning your brain at that time? Or do you have sex and immediately run into some room where they scan your brain? I don't know. They don't give us that detail here. Yeah. But the first men and women having sex and reaching orgasm have revealed striking differences in the way each experiences sexual pleasure. While male brains focus heavily on physical stimulation involved in sexual contact, this is just one part of a more complex picture for women. And this was done in the Netherlands, John.
Ah, yeah, one of my favorite places.
The key to female arousal seems rather to be deep relaxation and a lack of anxiety, with direct sensory input from the genitals. That's not funny. Playing a less critical role. The scan shows that during sexual activity, the parts of the female brain responsible for processing fear, anxiety, and emotion start to relax and reduce in activity. This reaches a peak at orgasm when the female brain's emotion centers are effectively closed down to produce an almost trance-like state, John.
Wow.
On the other hand, the male brain was harder to study during orgasm because of its shorter duration in men, but the scans nonetheless revealed important differences. Emotion centers were deactivated, though apparently less intensely than in a woman, and men also appear to concentrate more on the sensations transmitted from the genitals to the brain. So we're all about the genitals, the brain, John.
That's right.
Where women are about security and releasing the fear and anxiety. Which is difficult for me because...
That's it. Why do they do that then? Because they're releasing all that fear and anxiety. I guess they're exercising the demons.
This suggests, John, that for men, the physical aspects of sex play...
Let's ask Lori.
...a much more significant part of arousal than they do for women, for whom ambience, mood, and relaxation...
See, where's Erica?
...are at least as important. Okay, now here's the key here. Arousal for a woman, ambience, mood, and relaxation. So forget about bathroom stalls, John.
Right.
Okay? That's what that means. Forget about public, doing it in public.
Ouch, that's bullshit.
BS. BS, John. And that's all we have for science news.
Yeah, but I have this story. I don't know if it's science or not. Turner to axe smoking scenes from cartoons. Do you have this story?
I do not.
The cable network to remove decades-old sequences after viewer complaint. Did you hear about this?
I think I read a little blurb, like Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, Turner Broadcasting is scouring more than 1,500 classic Hanna-Barbera cartoons, including old favorites Tom and Jerry, The Flintstones, and Scooby-Doo to edit out scenes that glamorize smoking, Scott. The review has triggered by a complaint, or was triggered by a complaint to British media regulator Ofcom by one viewer who took offense to the two episodes of Tom and Jerry shown on the Boomerang Channel, part of Turner Broadcasting, which itself belongs to the Time Warner.
We are going through the entire catalog.
Yinka. I didn't know who. The person's name is Yinka Akindale.
Yinka.
Spokeswoman for Turner in Europe said on Monday,
"This is a voluntary step we've taken in light of the changing times," she said, adding the painstaking review had been prompted by the Ofcom complaint. The regulator's latest news bulletin stated that a viewer who was not identified had complained about two smoking scenes on Tom and Jerry, saying they were not appropriate in a cartoon aimed at children. In the first, Texas Tom, the hapless cat Tom, tries to impress a feline female by rolling a cigarette, lighting it, and smoking it with one
hand. Are we sure it's a cigarette?
Hand. In the second, Tennis Chumps, Tom's opponent in a match, smokes a large cigar. So wait a minute. It's okay to take a house cat and just fucking bonk him over the head with an anvil, but you can't smoke a cigarette in a cartoon. It's a fucking cartoon, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think about that. I don't think smoking belongs in any cartoons. And didn't Joe Camel? He was like he was the cartoon that was getting kids into smoking.
And who cares? What's the big deal?
I don't know. I don't want my kids being influenced by Tom and Jerry, but I can't imagine that they would be influenced by Tom and Jerry to start smoking cigarettes. Oh, Tom, he's so cool.
Okay, so if they take one of the dog's ears and puts it in a waffle iron, are you going to blame Hanna-Barbera?
No, not at all. But they did studies on Joe Camel. And he was very influential on getting kids to smoke.
Oh, come on.
For whatever reason. Now, so I can't, I totally agree with removing smoking from cartoons. When you get into an, because this Ted Turner guy, he was the one who started colorizing crap, right?
Yeah.
Which I didn't agree with at all. Do they talk at all about removing smoking from movies, like for adults, movies?
Let's see.
It's just from cartoons.
Just cartoons, as far
because
as
it's
I
from
see.
Movies. I mean, he bastardized them by colorizing them. From the dim-witted red states probably wanted in color, right? I don't know. But if you remove smoking scenes from there, I think that's censorship, in my opinion. But I don't think smoking scenes should be in stuff aimed at kids. I just don't. That's just my opinion.
Well,
John.
Somebody on their Organ Grinder forum said, have to dig out all those photos and films of Winston Churchill and airbrush out cigars, said a message posted on the Organ Grinder forum.
No, you don't, because he's an adult. He's not a cartoon. He's not a cartoon cat or a cartoon mouse.
Yeah. Come on. It's a fucking cartoon.
All right.
If you can, as a parent, sit there and go, smoking is bad. But the kid's going to listen to a fucking Tom and Jerry?
Kids watch it all day. I don't know.
Come on.
Well, they had to remove the one where Tom boofed, raped Jerry. They took that one off. I thought that was a good idea.
What?
Yeah, there was a cartoon where he invaded him from behind.
You're lying.
That was in there.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I saw that when I was 12 and
you've been boofing ever since.
Yeah, it made me want to anally rape mice.
So I don't understand. There's another statistic out that says that the youngest brother of anybody who has older brothers, a male who has older brothers, is the more he has, the more likely he is to be gay. So how does that happen for you? You don't have any brothers.
It's all about probabilities. Oh, why am I gay? Why am I so gay is what you're asking?
No, I'm kidding.
But that's all about probabilities in mathematics. The more older brothers you have, the more likely you are to be gay, just probability-wise. That's all. That there's a genetic mutation that's going to make you a homosexual. So what's the big revelation in that?
I don't know. It's fucking stupid.
It is stupid.
It's goddamn stupid. Well, the male gene, the male part of the male chromosomes come from the woman, right? And maybe she's running out, so she's replacing them with female ones.
Right, and then you get this hybrid thing.
Yeah, right.
Like I saw at Gibson's over the weekend.
Gibson's, the restaurant? You went to Gibson's? You didn't call me?
It was a date night with a lovely wife.
I like dates.
All right.
My wife likes dates.
Oh, you bring your wife too?
I bring my wife too. Hey, can I come too? You didn't go to a movie after that?
Mm-mm.
All right, well, we got to go to part three, man.
Part three.
All right, we'll be back in a bit.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for...
Part three. Part three.
At Total Talk Nonsense with Sean and Scott.